Hey out there, everybody. This is Caffeination 492. We do not have a name for this one, but we're hoping it's going to be quick and easy. It's going to be an interesting show here today because I'm on vacation, people. Unfortunately, my wonderful co-host, Steve, is not on vacation.
No, I don't get a vacation.
So you're actually going to be working again tonight?
That's right.
So we're going to hit it up and get this out and done, hopefully, before we have a chance to mess up too badly. So we have a great show lined up for you today and every day that we try and do this. You are, of course, listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Put a little bit of extra tea in there. I've been drinking a lot of tea recently. I guess it's working its way into the vocab.
It's starting.
So, working on the tea, but, you know, not quite that bad. Come on, people. All right, we have high-octane world of caffeine and culture and technology news. Techpodcasts.com is a wonderful place to visit and to join up if you have a tech-related show. It's a great network of a whole bunch of people who work together on different things. It's also a place where you can go to find family-friendly and safe education content, so it's a really good place to hang out and find some really good stuff. It's kind of interesting because whenever I go around and work and I'm trying to listen to podcasts, every once in a while I'll forget where I am and I'll listen to one that might not actually be the most family-friendly thing to do, and that's not something you want to listen to on open speakers. So Tech Podcast is a great place to go because you know that you're going to be, you know, no matter what it is, no matter what little ears or, you know, big ears, if you're listening in work, are around, it's really good to kind of just listen. You can you sort through the whole thing. All right, if you're looking for this show, it can be found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that out. I am Paul. This is...
Steve.
And Steve and I can both be found over at caffeination@gmail.com, or if you have something direct for me, you can email me at paul@caffeination.com, or you can hit me up at Caffeination on Twitter. And how can they find you, Steve?
You can find me at steve@caffeination.com, or at on Twitter, it's Lost Fears.
All right, so we have a great show lined up for you today. There's a lot of interesting stuff that we're going to be talking about. We're going to hit up a lot of Zelda news. No clue why there's so much of this hanging around.
Yeah, it just popped up out of nowhere.
We have a little bit of Tetris stuff. We have some jellyfish. Next to no coffee news, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's very odd.
There's no coffee. There's hardly any food. I'm feeling a little hungry. I think we might have to stuff the coffers with some food and stuff for next week. So it's kind of interesting. It's a weird week here. I'm really not plugged into the tech scene at all. So if there's something that's happened in the past couple of days and I didn't catch it on Twitter or something else like that, it's not going to show up here. So even
on vacation, so you haven't caught much.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been fishing this year either, so I haven't caught anything. So it's going to be an interesting show, shall we say. So what did you do geeky this week, sir?
I started playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, which is turning out to be quite an event.
Okay, and I finished up Duke Nukem Forever. Interesting storyline, fun, cannot wait to see what they do for the sequel, because they've basically promised in there. Hopefully I won't be like 50 when the sequel comes out, but you know, we'll see. I'm going to be giving the game over to Steve, and he'll give you his quick rundown on what he thinks of it, as somebody who's never really played any of the other ones as well. But before we got too much further, I did want to make mention of the fact that this show is sponsored by the Coffee Scoop. If you've ever gotten a coffee-related prize from the Caffeination Podcast, one of our giveaways for any one of the things, we've always gone through the Coffee Scoop. It's a wonderful local and organic roaster here in Pennsylvania. I found them at a great farmer's market, and I got to tell you, it is really nice to know that, I mean, there's a lot of the smaller roasters that do this, but basically, your coffee is not ready until you order it. And when you order it, they roast it, pack it, and send it to you. So if you want to find them, you can go on over to freshcoffeescoop.com. They have a wonderful variety of really cool and interesting coffees that are over there. There's a lot of information there, and Warren and everybody over there will take care of you like nobody else. I promise you. It is a fantastic service, and we're proud to have them as a sponsor for this month. All right, we have, so you said Gear Geeky, I got my geeky out there. Now we have a little bit of a problem with the first story. Twitter blew up today, or actually I think it was yesterday, right?
It was last night is when I first saw it.
Okay, yeah, I think it happened yesterday morning, but yesterday was my daughter's first birthday. It was a fantastic event. Like, we've been doing vacation, you know, like little day-by-day things. So I've not really been reading anything. So Twitter was still all abuzz last night when I first read about it. Netflix has raised their prices. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. And this isn't like the Verizon where everybody kind of knew, like, oh, yeah, they're going to be raising their rates and, you know, they're grandfathering people. And no, this is Netflix has split out the unlimited streaming and the unlimited DVDs into two separate plans. And the way that it seems to work out now is that they still have the 1 through 8 DVD. Is there really somebody who gets 8 DVDs at once?
I believe so.
I mean, what are they doing? Ordering, like, the whole season or something and watching it? Like, do they have a day job? So if you want 8 DVDs at one time, you can spend $55.99 a month. Or you can go... It used to be the $8.99 a month was one DVD. They're raising it up to $9.99. If you just want unlimited streaming, it's $9.99 or $7.99 a month. So now they're into two separate things. So if you're doing both the streaming and the DVDs, it's something like $15-$16 for one DVD. We're a two DVD household. We may go back down to one. I'm not entirely sure, but it's going to be around $20 for us to keep the current plan that we have.
I'm a one DVD type person. So
I mean, you're only one people too. So, you know, it helps when you're one people. You only have one set of eyes.
And that's right.
Right now I have the... I think I have the new Clash of the Titans upstairs. I'd like to release the Kraken. That's the only reason I got it, in all honesty, is that one quote, "Release the Kraken!" Except for the fact that we all know that the Kraken is not actually a Greek or a Roman myth. It's more of a Norse god kind of thing. So right there, I know that the movie's probably not really going to stick to... to any kind of one mythology, but still. I'm not honestly really upset about the price change. I don't know about you.
You know, it's a hit or miss. I think that, you know, they had to do it because of the fact that, you know, the way the web is now where, you know, you have everything starting to stream online, I think they're just trying to, you know, take advantage of it.
And I also think the studios are really kind of hitting them up and saying, hey, you know what, everybody, you're putting Netflix on everything. Netflix is on Google TV, it's on Xbox 360, it's on PlayStation 3, it's on Wii. You can get Netflix everywhere. You can even get it on your smartphone, like both you and I have.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, we think, you know, you owe us some more money for that.
Yeah.
And then Netflix says, okay, fine. So they'll negotiate down to as low as they can, and they say, okay, here's your money. But my problem is that there's not a big catalog. When you really can come to it. Like, you know, when I'm looking for stuff right now, I love when they release new content onto the online streaming stuff. And I hate that they phase things out because there's movies that my son loves to watch over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And part of me is really thankful that Scooby-Doo Camp Scare isn't on there anymore because I swear to God, he must have watched it 45 times. He has the DVD. He knows what Netflix is. He can find it on Google TV without me there. So that's pretty scary. Like, he still needs me to go through it, but, you know, he'll start up Netflix on Google TV. And I actually got a little worried because Amber the other day, the one-year-old, she pulled down my keyboard, the Google TV keyboard. The TV was off. She starts banging away on it and looks up at the TV waiting for something to happen. I was like, okay, that's really freaky that you know that controls that. So now I'm just worried that, you know, she, like, so we, I pulled, like, I have this old Mac keyboard from, like, you know, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I used to give it to Paul whenever I was working on the computer. I would plug it in because my old laptop had one dead USB port. So I'd plug it into the dead USB port and let him wail away on the keyboard because it wouldn't do anything. So now I don't have a dead USB port, so I just give her the laptop or give her the keyboard. So she's wailing away at it, and she thinks she's doing something on the laptop instead. So it's a little bit of trickery, but still, you know. So, getting back to what we were talking about, Netflix, yeah, everybody's a little bit upset about it. I wish there was one kind of bundled plan that they did have because, I mean, that just for ease of billing, that would be nice. So maybe even if they had, like, a suggestion. Like, I know that my wife only gets, like, one DVD every couple months sometimes. Like, if they're bad DVDs and she really doesn't want to... She doesn't feel like watching them, she might let one sit there for a little while.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe if they made the suggestion, you know, perhaps you could go down to this plan to save yourself some money. It might be nice. All right, what's the next little story that we got here?
Next thing we got on the list is Zelda Day. And basically what this is you know, a bunch of people getting together. This is actually happening in Brazil, and to narrow it down, Rio de Janeiro. And basically what it is they have this big celebration going on in the style of, you know, the Hyrule time. And basically what they're doing is they have music, food, games, and Yeah, and pretty much anything you think of. If you've ever played the game series, you know what Hyrule is. You know the style and everything. And basically, what they want to do is recreate it just for a day. And so, as far as I know, they have over 500 people showing up for this. So if you're in the Brazilian city, you know, make sure you stop by this area. I'm not going to pronounce it. There is a link to it in this story. Like I said, you know, I'll probably
General Osorio,
something like that. So
you got to just add some weird emphasis in there. It'll sort of sound right.
Oh yeah. But pretty much, yeah. If you're in the area, you know, make sure you stop down. They do ask, you know, show your support, wear a shirt, you know, something that shows your support for the game series. They even encourage cosplay for this.
Okay, that'd be pretty cool. I'd like to see what a little Brazilian cosplay is for the Legend of Zelda, because you know the carnival outfits alone get pretty crazy. So I'm pretty sure there's going to be some people who really, you know, kind of pull out all the stops.
Oh yeah.
So, all right, that sounds pretty cool. What's up next after that?
After that, we'll keep it going with the Zelda. And we're bringing out the Zelda playing card. And basically what this is...
I think it's a dude over on DeviantArt had just put this out as a proposal.
Yeah.
So it's not actually a real product yet.
No, not yet. And you know what? I do hope it does come out, because you and I both agree that the... Ace of Triforce is pretty nice looking.
Yeah, what it looks like is that he's designed a regular set of playing cards where every king, every queen, and every jack are all the same, but they all have slightly different stylings. The king is Ganon, the queen is Zelda herself, and then the jack is, of course, Link. What he did was he actually added a fifth suit. So besides the spades, the hearts, diamonds, and clubs, there's also the Triforces. So I wonder what that would do to the actual games that you would play with playing cards. Like, you know, so are you going to have, like, five aces? So, like, you would actually have five aces. You would actually have five kings and five everything else. So I wonder really what that would do. Like, would it mess up any of the traditional games? Like, maybe instead of five-card stud playing poker, you'd have to go up to, like, six cards in order to do something.
Yeah.
So I just wonder. I think that'd be really cool. I'd like to see it. I mean, the face cards are the only ones that he's actually released, so it's really cool. We have a link up to Nelda. I guess that's how you pronounce his name. It's at the bottom. Nelda, N-E-L-D-E. I don't know. It's his username over at DeviantArt. He has some really cool stuff over there, so if you'd like to head on over there and actually leave comments on there. Oh, wait. I think he's done some more of them. So, but, yeah, they're really cool. I'd love for him to actually check this out, so, you know. All right, and then the next little thing, the last little Zelda deal that we got for you. I have no clue why there's so much Zelda stuff cropping up here today. But Shauna May over on Twitter actually sent us a link to her Evolution of Link. It's a speed drawing that she did for the 25th anniversary. Now, neither Steve nor I can actually pick out exactly when the 25th anniversary is. It's kind of like when you're talking with Mario Brothers and you're talking with all those other things. There's so many different rough anniversaries that people will go off of, and it's kind of hard to nail them down.
I know they said that... If I remember correctly, I do believe February 20th is when they said the anniversary was.
Okay, so we're still technically in the 25th anniversary year.
Yeah, you're in the era. So.
Okay, so it's not like we're talking like the Converse Mario Brother 30th anniversary things that are a year late. So, I mean, this is just a couple months off the actual day. We're still within the year. So it's kind of like, I think Disney, when they were having like their 75th anniversary or something like that, the Disney one in Florida, I think they did it for like 3 years. So like, oh, it's the 75th anniversary. Really? Still? So no, it's just 75th or 50th. I have no clue. But all I know is like, no, it might be 25th even. I don't even know how old it is. But like, I remember like my family went 1 year, and then the next year I kept hearing ads for it. I went, really? This is the longest year I've ever heard of. But, yeah, so this is really beautiful art. I got to say, Shanna really did a wonderful job. I mean, everybody can do the pixel art for the original too. But moving right along to the actual, the last two figures that she actually drew. Which games would you say they are? Is it like this one from Ocarina of Time or?
That Ocarina? One looks like from the Ocarina of Time. The one before that might actually be it. I would say it might be the same, but in his early years.
Okay.
And so, then, of course, the first two, you know, from right to left, you would have The Legend of Zelda Link of Adventure, which is Zelda 2, and then The Legend of Zelda, the original.
Okay, so in the first one, was it actually still Link?
Yeah.
Okay. Because which one was the gold cassette?
The gold cassette was...
We had that at home. I think we might even still have it. I can't remember which
now,
one.
Now, which one? Because Nintendo had a gold cassette for the...
For the original Legends of Zelda?
Right.
Okay, but it was released after the first release of it.
Right, and then Super Nintendo also had
Yeah, we didn't have Super Nintendo. So. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I just didn't get all into that.
How much of a fan I am.
All right, yeah, but you know, overall, it's a really fantastic little evolution there. It shows you how much he's changed in the last 25 years. So it's kind of cool. All right, next little thing we got up for you here is a little art stylings of Samuel Parrott over at samuelparrott.co.uk. He does a lot of different minimalistic style things. Like he actually does minimalistic movie posters where he has the Green Lantern, Thor, and Captain America. And he has some really interesting takes on how the art works. Like I'm not a real big fan of the text. Like the way that he actually does the text here, it kind of hurts my eyes. It's like I see that he has the actual... lantern symbol, and then he like kind of superimposes the number and everything on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you gotta stare at it for a minute to actually start seeing it.
But I love the Green Lantern. Like, if the Green Lantern poster was just the mask, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's really something missing from a lot of the different. And the only thing is on his Thor poster where they have the helmet. That's not what I want. I want Mjolnir. I think you need to have the hammer. Like, my son has this goofy little plastic hammer that he's had since he was a baby. And it's not, like, the bashin one that you bought him. It's, like, it's like a little handyman hammer. And you hit things on it, and, like, you know, it makes noises and everything. And like, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
But today, like, I'm standing in the kitchen, and damned if he doesn't throw the thing at my back. And I get hit, and I turn around, and I say some words I probably shouldn't ought to have said. And he goes, just like Thor, right? And, yeah, I can't be angry at that. Yes, just like Thor, but Thor does not throw a hammer at his dad. His dad's Odin. So, you know, I am your Odin. Knock that off. So, if you want to, you can head on over there and check out the really cool stylings of Samuel Parrott. All right, next little thing we got up for you here is Analog Tetris, right, Steve?
That's right. What this is basically a half art, half game, and somebody designed a life-size version of the Tetris game. And basically, what you got to do is, you know, I guess you got to have two people playing this, and you basically what you do is you shape them up, you toss them down, and it's just like the game. I'm hoping, you know, if this comes. You know, traveling, they better put speakers on the side and play the Tetris music.
You hear that, or just have people humming along. And then they'd have to speed up over time.
Oh yeah, every level.
Yeah, the side. My only issue with this is that the actual pieces that make up the side, which are supposed to be the Tetrinos, are not actually the shape of what they're supposed to be. Like the line pieces here, that's fine. But they need to actually, like, you know, the blue one should be, like, the L or the
right.
squiggle or something like that. And they should have made the container itself out of the pieces, and it would have been perfect. Like, if they had done down the side, then over a little bit to make the L, and then extended it one block out, it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, all I need when it is you're going to follow the conventions that you set up. That's all I ask for. It's not that hard. But I love the fact that in the back there's like this random storage shelf that you can do. What would be really cool is if it was all like a mysterious grab bag that you couldn't see.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it's going to work because you would actually have to have the pieces together and be able to clear them out line by line. So if you actually clear them, like how does that work? Because they're one bunch of Tetrinos together.
Yeah.
So it's like these are wooden blocks that are kind of set up. So it's good and bad. Like the only way I could see it actually working in real life is if the blocks were individual Tetrinos themselves, like individual squares that were magnetized to only fit in their proper shape.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a way to do it. There's always a way. Got to think. All right, next up we have Lego Middle Earth. Now, I was a real big fan when they actually released the Lego Barad-dûr. Now, Barad-dûr is the massive castle at the very end of the movies, if you've never seen anything like this before. And it's everything you could possibly imagine done to Lego minfig scale. It has the lidless eye at the very top. It is one of the two towers within the... the two towers. The other one, of course, being Isengard, which they didn't actually do here. Now, this one gentleman who actually did this, this thing stands the same height as he is, which is in and of itself alone a massive feat. Then there's a group of people who all got together, and they were all attending Brick World 2011, and they collectively worked on something they called the Fellowship of the Brick. Gotta love the double entendre there. And they recently took back the prize for the best collective artwork, basically. They tried to do the entirety of Middle-earth in brick scale. So there's Minas Tirith with the thousands of armies assaulting it. There's a whole bunch of other pictures out there. And they even have the Mines of Moria. And yes, they did bring a cave troll. I absolutely love this. This is fantastic. I cannot imagine the amount of money that they spent on minifigs alone.
Yeah.
That you would have to just be able to have like a 3D printer printing those suckers out. Because, I mean, I think they actually have battalions of them. So there's like 50 minifigs per battalion. And right here alone, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's like 23 battalions visible, both inside the castle and out attacking here. So that's hundreds of minifigs in that one piece alone. And there's no reuse between the two of them because, like, you know, each one is set up individually. So on top of Balin's coffin, you have the Gimli actually fighting off the cave troll with all the other characters that I could name drop from now to when the sun goes down. But still, it's just an insane amount of detailed work. And I wonder how much that prize actually is because that's a lot of coin that they dropped there. All right. Next little thing that we got for you here is the Lego Cryptex. Not Lego. It's the USB Cryptex. It's a combo lock originally designed by a gentleman in Russia, I believe. Right?
Yes.
He has it designed. Like, we're having trouble actually figuring out all the specifics of it, including the actual materials, because a lot of the places have just the Google translation, and it's a little iffy on what exactly it is. But he basically has this machined out. This is exactly like the Cryptex that you see in the Da Vinci Code. You have to have the tumblers spell out the right number or in order to unlock the USB drive. So it's like a little brass and metal, or brass and I'm guessing stainless steel tumbler. And once you have the right code put out there, which is apparently 02545, just in case you ever get this guy's USB drive, you can pull out the thing. But if you don't have them correctly, then it actually locks it up. And it's a physical security for your USB drive. I think this is fantastic. So, I mean, I would buy this.
I would.
I mean, there's always that thing out there in any kind of security setting where if you have physical possession of something, it's only a matter of time before they crack the security. And any security countermeasure that you throw up is only a roadblock along the way. So it would really be interesting to see exactly how long this would take to crack. And I wonder if they have something kind of like what they had the Cryptex. If you were jostled it too hard or you did something to it, it would break. Could you imagine if you tried to pull it apart, it would actually drive those the little cylinders through the USB chip?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
So, all right. You know, I'm always thinking here. You got to think. All right. Next little thing. This is something that's very complicated, so I don't know exactly how I'm going to explain it. They're saying it's permanently germ-free clothing. With this germ and bacteria, there's a special spray that the scientists at the University of Georgia have developed that penetrates clothing and actually makes it inhospitable to bacteria of all types. So once you spray your clothes with this, not only does it kill anything there, but nothing else will grow there. So they're talking about using this in hospitals and areas that need to be sterile. And you can actually put your clothes in the wash, have it come out, and still have the same properties there. So this is like super sunblock for bacteria. So I was looking at this, and I don't know that much about the subject. I'm thinking about it, and I put it up there because it's cool. But wouldn't something eventually... Nature abhors a vacuum. And wouldn't something eventually evolve to the point where it wouldn't be affected by that? And the cat says hello. So, like, for instance, nature and podcasts abhor a vacuum. So whenever we talk for any length of time and we don't have a cat in the background, the cat feels the need. You know, she's compelled to come downstairs. She will ignore me the rest of the week, I guarantee you. But she's only this vocal when we record. But, I mean, it just seems interesting, but I probably have something messed up here. So I don't know what else to say about that. If there's anything that anybody has to comment on it, please feel free to weigh in on that one, because I know I have something wrong. All right, next little story we got here is jellyfish invading 4 nuclear reactors in Japan, Japan, Israel, and Scotland. The only thing is that the one from Israel isn't a nuclear power plant. It's actually a coal power plant.
Ah.
So, but the thing here that, again, this is something I know very little about, but it's just kind of freaky looking. These 4 power plants use seawater for cooling. And in the intakes of this different power plants, they've been clogged by a mass incursion, of jellyfish. So thick, and there's pictures here that are actually kind of disgusting. I don't even know how you would explain these pictures. It looks like somebody left clods of like wax in water. And they're just disgusting, and they're absolutely everywhere. These are like shipping crates that are packed full with jellyfish. The amount of jellyfish was so thick in the seawater that they were using for cooling, they actually had to shut the reactors and shut the different systems down to clear out the jellyfish. So they couldn't actually do what they were supposed to do. So it's kind of freaky.
Yeah, I mean, you look through these pictures, you're amazed at how full these crates are with just the jellyfish.
Yeah, and they even have one where a guy's lifting them out with like a pitchfork, and it's disgusting. So, I mean, it's freaky. And what they're saying is, like, when they first thought of it, they're like, okay, this is something, you know, it's just a bit weird. Then when it happened to 4 different power plants, they're like, okay, is there something that we don't know that's attracting these suckers here? So, I'm wondering that myself. It's something we're going to keep our finger on the pulse of the jellyfish world, you know? So, yes, this is so horrible. All those poor jellyfish, so cruel, and such a waste of the sea's natural food source for whales and other sea life. Yeah, that's great. I hate jellyfish. All right, let's see, what's the next thing that we got?
Next thing we got would actually probably be the extremely strong sound that we have going on.
Curiously strong.
Curiously strong. And basically what this is of course, you know, a little inventive. Somebody took, they recycled their Altoids tin can and made it into an amp, which is, it's become very popular doing this to a lot of things. I mean, you showed me a cigar box. You know, you see a bunch of different things. And basically, you know, in order to do something like this, you know, just grab a book that, Paul was showing me. It's called Snip, Burn, Solder, and Shred. And basically, you know, it's geeky stuff for, adults and kids.
I love this book. I gotta say, I've been working on a review of it because I want to actually make the stuff that's in it. And there's this thing that lets you make your own electric guitar. And there's something that lets you make your own effects for the actual electric guitar. So, you know, while I can't play my 6-string electric guitar, this one shows you how to make a 1-string electric guitar. So maybe I can work with 1-string and then move up from there.
Yeah.
But this is pretty cool, and the thing that they're doing that's interesting about the Altoids amp is that it's actually being sold, so you can buy it. So it runs off a single 9-volt battery, and it's only $35. It seems to be a lot of money, but I'm not sure how well constructed it is. I mean, it looks pretty good. It looks machined quite well, but you know, when you're looking at it and you look at the parts in the book that they actually say, the parts alone add up to $10. So yeah. I mean. Yeah, it depends on how dirty you want to get your hands. So I thought that was pretty cool. All right, the last little thing we got for you in the Geek Cruft section at the Caffeination Podcast, then we'll drive on into the 2, count them, uno, dos, things for food and caffeinated bits, and then we'll send you out on your way. Google Plus. I'm just curious what other people are thinking. You can actually add me. My name is Paul Muller. Or just look, you know, search for caffeination at gmail.com and you'll find me. We're not allowed yet. Google will remove any nickname or like name of a company or something like that. Up until they actually release the profile pages for companies,
mm-hmm.
They're going to remove anybody who rebrands a personal page as a page.
Profile. Wow.
So I thought that was actually kind of cool. Like, there's a lot of brand marketers out there that are actually kind of irritated at a lot of the different stuff Google Plus is doing. They're like, oh, you know, it's pretty ridiculous. How can we reach out to people if they don't want to hear us? And a lot of the really good marketers are basically saying, look, if they don't want to hear you, you're doing something wrong. You're saying something wrong, or you're not valuable enough that you actually have to get in there on the sly in order to actually make anything up. So I kind of agree with that. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how far it takes it. All right, and then let's see what we got next. The first thing we got for you here, this story I put out there because I thought it was just kind of funny and interesting, and then it took off like nobody's business today. Literally 33 people found it on Facebook, and I didn't even share. I shared it once this morning just because I thought it was interesting, and it just blew up from there. It's Angry Birds Coffee Art. Somebody by the name of Eric... I found this over at foodbeast.com, but somebody by the name of Eric actually took a regular, normal cappuccino and drew in chocolate sauce across the top of the cappuccino an angry bird. I think it's the red one.
It is the red one.
It's the red one. And it's, I think it would have been more interesting if he did the black one, because I like the black.
Yeah, black ones, I enjoy the black one a lot better.
I think somebody had a joke one for a while there where they had, you know, like, the Angry Bird usefulness scale, and the black one is like, F yeah, it's like, oh yeah, we got that. And, you know, like, the blue one is like, are you kidding me? And the yellow one was like right under the black one. Yeah. I like the yellow. Yellow one's pretty cool.
Yellow one's good. I mean, with the different version of the Rio one, they actually have a couple of new birds in there that are somewhat okay, but somewhat useless.
I like the really fat one.
Yeah.
He's just fun to use, but he's not actually as useful as they make him out to be. Because, like, every once in a while he'll hit something and just bounce off uselessly. Like, really? Thank you. Thank you for that. Thanks, fatty. But yeah, this is simple. This is one of the simplest stories I've ever done, and it's just blowing up. So if you find yourself interested in Angry Birds and you like to play a little latte art, you go on over there and you can probably do it. It's like, you know, 7 lines and you too can have your very own Angry Bird latte art. And then the next thing we have up here is not even a real story. This is Dr. Drip. This is a really cool product that I got that I'm working on the review. I actually took the time to have all the pictures taken and put up there. It's just I haven't gotten a chance to actually go through and set everything all up and actually do the review the right way. Like, I have all my notes written out. What I'm just going to tell you is that it's not a bad product. It's actually, I really like the form factor of it. My only problem with it is that it didn't make very strong coffee. So if you actually head on over to one of the end shots of the coffee, you can kind of see that you can basically see through the cup. And if I'm going to make some coffee, I want it to be black like I like my metal. It needs to be like, you know, like, my soul black. You need to look into the pits of despair and find your own reflection in my coffee. That's how I like it. No milk, no creamer, no nothing. It's just get it all away. I love the form factor for the thing. I have to look up the price and make sure I have all my ducks in a row on that one. But it looks cool. It took some good photographs, but other than that, I don't really know what to say yet.
No, all I know is I really enjoy your little doctor note from Dr. Drip himself.
Yeah, they did send me a prescription. Let me just make sure that I have the there it is. The prescription was that, enclosed, please find a couple sandals of Dr. Drip coffee for you to review and enjoy. Look forward to your thoughts. Best, Aaron. I love when products that are trying to be kitschy actually take it the extra mile.
Yeah.
Like, this is a prescription for Dr. Drip. That's fantastic. That alone earns them, like, a step above people who just send me their product and say, go for it. Or people who don't send me their product, send me a link to the story about it, you know, somebody else's review. It's like, while I will, if I find something on my own, I'm going to talk about it, but if you're sending me a PR release and asking me when I'm going to write my review based on somebody else's, that's just not going to happen. It's, you know, either if I try something out or Steve tries something out, we will write the review about it. Like, you're hearing our firsthand opinions of it, and we give you the honest, you know, straight from the heart kind of thing on it. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, this guy thought it was fantastic, so I'm going to review it as good. So that's not what you're getting here. So I just thought it was needed to be said. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And that about wraps it up here today. This is the I don't know, what do you want to call this one? This is tiny. This is short. It's $4.92. Really?
Yeah, there you go.
Really? All right, everybody. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more of a brain on straight next week. I'll be back to work. Steve will probably still be in work.
I'll still be working.
The man works a lot. So thank you ever so much for sticking around for this episode. This has been Caffeination episode number 492. That's a pretty big number.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. It's going to be interesting to see what exactly happens. If you want to find this or any of the other episodic friends that it has made along its way, you can head on over to www.caffination.com. That's caffeination.com. Or you can just find us, just search for us on Google. We're pretty high up when you search for our badly spelled name.
That's right.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. And stay caffeinated, people.